Boa. Hey. Ho ho. Santa Cool here, and happy holidays, Jello Noel, Feliz Nabisco, yeah, happy chunky tuna. Hey, look what I was from my just presents. Scooby-Doo purse and a cock ring. Yay! Mary, Santa Cool.
Oh, yeah, I've since given up the clearance wine and got myself hung up on a better, healthier habit of cheesecake, man. Cheesecake. Forgive me for being a little half-assed today, but I'll get to that in a moment. So, welcome to the Todd Sampler for Without Your Head. I am Santa Cool, Todd Quality Yeager, and Santa Bear, all wrapped up in one. What a present, huh? And today, I'm talking about I Sleigh for Christmas. Which is basically constructed by Phil Hermann. It's got different directors and writers and such. Hey, good stuff about Avery Crumley did the artwork for it and was one of the producers. Avery did the artwork for a little film I was in, Toilet Zombie Baby Strikes Back. And Marvin Maddox Jr. was a producer on this as well. He did the music for Toilet Zombie Baby Strikes Back. Take a listen.
Something evil's come to play in my town. The population's going down. Don't go number one and two in my town. Something evil will get you.
Well, that's the good stuff. That's it. Thanks for watching. Okay, I guess I gotta talk more about it. I'm all half-assed because I just didn't care. Because honest to goddess, this whole start of the movie was so half-assed, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. So about a half hour in, I had to look it up on IMDb to get some kind of clue. And it turns out, yeah, it's an anthology, but here's what people said. Solid, an instant indie horror classic with big scares. A spine-tingling anthology. Merry mayhem at its finest. I had to look again at the title. Did I search for the right movie? Because I don't know what movie they're talking about. So, yeah, it's off to a bad start. Okay, so like I said, it starts off and like pine cones. There's a thing about pine cones, guy running through the woods, pine cones. But then there's another guy in the woods who looked a lot like Peter Horton from 30-something. Remember, you kids are too young for that. And depending on which place the wraparound appeared, his stubble was there, and then it wasn't, and then it was there. So continuity, folks. And let's see what, let's see here. Okay. And so as for it being Christmas, the first three segments really could have taken place any time of the year. They just said it was Christmas. Like in the first one, they mentioned it was Christmas. And in the second one, you know, you get little placements maybe of decorations here and there. But really, honestly, Christmas has really nothing to do with it, except for the very last segment called Christmas Revenge. That is obviously Christmas. Like I said, I didn't know this was an anthology. There's a guy in the forest. Well, it's a green screen forest, and the snow is overlaid. So it gave it this almost, I don't want to say dreamlike quality. It seemed very lo-fi and just disjointed. But it looked also, who is this guy? Well, apparently he's some kind of Satan or something, because honestly, I could not hear a goddamn word he was saying. You couldn't hear a lot throughout this, in the all this opening stuff and in the first segment, all chopped up and nowhere to go. There were points where you could not hear a word. It was just weird. So then you have, with the guy in the forest and the pine cones, topless chick. Well, she's got a shirt on and she's taking it off, and she's got these enhanced gravity defying breasts, the kind that, you know, are like a foot apart. And she's taunting him. And fuck if I know what that has anything to do with this. Like, this was one of the photos for IMDb. That's not in the movie. Anyway, so you got these news clips. Again, with audio so soft, you can't. And talking about a virus, and you see a guy getting sick. That went nowhere. At the end of the film, you've got a mention of the virus, but this whole virus thing, what? Okay, so, you know what? Okay. I'm back. Let me have a little eggnog first. First segment, all chopped up and nowhere to go. I don't know. Was this shot on a phone? I've seen many things shot on a phone, but this this one. Obnoxious city right off the bat. Some say, oh, he chewed up the scenery. He was great. I was getting worried because it was just him screaming and acting like a douchebag. And the whole thing about this deaf child, which I was assuming was a mutant because you never saw the kid. It was always camera POV. Whenever the wife spoke, I mean, she was right there in the kitchen. But it was like this. You couldn't hear. It's like, It was, the audio was all over the place. You couldn't hear a fucking thing sometimes. It just didn't follow through. This thing, God, let me look at my notes. Okay. So a girl shows up after the wife leaves. And honestly, that wife should have killed the guy, should have finished him off. Get the fuck out of there. Some gal shows up. Where's Bree? I guess that was the wife. And so when that, don't walk into the place. That guy's a, you can tell he's a perv. And Joshi walks in there. And of course, let's see her tits, so let's assault her. And that was, it was just this whole thing of tearing off a girl's clothes just to assault her or chop her up. I'm sorry, that's one for the psychology books, man. We're supposed to be like, ooh, she's naked, and then, ooh, look at the gore. I'm like, really? That's not a healthy mix. But I know they used to do it in the 70s and the 80s, but come on. You know, they stopped doing the rapey thing in porn like in the 70s. Even some of the stars admit, geez, you couldn't do that today. Well, God, guys. So anyway, the girl, she goes a-running. She's a-running for her life, all topless through the woods. And the guy, he's like, ah, like he's drunk, he's nuts, he's stumbling. But man, he's right on her. In the woods. She's running. He's doing this. How did they meet up? I don't know. And then it's like she conveniently trips and falls nicely onto a really soft towel. And, oh, don't kill me. I'll have sex with you. After all, it's Christmas. Oh, my God. So, anyway... Chop, chop, chop. You know, okay, whatever, it ended. So after the enhanced tits in the weird opening segment, which made no sense, and then this, you know what? Obviously, this get the gals naked and chop them up thing is for the guys. So I'm going to make you guys sit through a gratuitous shower scene of yours truly. Take it away, Todd.
That's better.
How'd that feel? I know some of you liked it. But those guys, you know, just want to see those naked chicks. Now you understand why sometimes just, you know, fucking go to the internet and look for that stuff instead. It just, it was, because this was a bit of a lo-fi, especially low-rent opening, it was supposed to be. No. Anyway. Okay. So, after an obnoxious, rather juvenile opening of all chopped and up, nowhere to go, there was a segment from Uruguay called The Best Company. This one was an improvement. However, it started off with this, long, and we got like 20 G's, long news segment that could have talked a little bit about the festival, then got right into the news reports of missing people. Because it just talked about, come to this festival, don't be lonely, it's a festival. It too much of that, it was extraneous. And it also was intercut with these artsy looking segments of this Spanish-speaking woman in a kitchen. Now, her little bits and dialogue become a tad more clear as this short moves along, especially when you start to see more of this guy and you think, oh, okay, that's maybe his mother, and it's starting to tie in a little bit. But, and by the way, the Spanish in this segment is interesting. It's Uruguayan Spanish, which, from what I understand, has some Italian influences in it. So you've got kind of a little bit of touch of both in there. It's really interesting. I loved hearing the dialogue like that. It does become more serious as this short goes along, which makes this all a jarring switch from the really obnoxious first segment. And it paid off. This one paid off. I was surprised. That was a really good thing. But all that extraneous stuff about the festival, get rid of it. Sorry, just. But this was an improvement. But I'm still not happy. So, give me a minute. Give me a minute. I'll be back.
Ooh, after a rough start of a movie like that, I had to get more comfortable, put on my bear hat, sip a little more eggnog. Oh, you want to know where eggnog comes from? Well, I'll have to tell you in private. Hey, let's get happy. Got to talk about some happy things to put me in a better mood to get through the rest of this sleigh thing. Holiday related, the League of Gentlemen Christmas special. Now, you watch this in between series 2 and 3, ties them together. And then after you watch season 3, you watch the apocalypse film they did. It's dark and absurd and wonderful. A Colbert Christmas, the greatest gift of all. Stephen Colbert, enough said. Yes, of course. Pee-wee's Playhouse Christmas special. You can't live without it. It's just a simple fact. And don't forget the Tim and Eric Awesome Show Great Job Crimbus special.
Now, some of y'all might say, well, Todd, what about The Nightmare Before Christmas? Okay, yeah. Yeah. But you know what? Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas, that name's kind of slapped on there. Yeah, I wrote and produced it. But who you need to really give credit to is Henry Selick. He directed it. And if you're going to watch this, watch it with the French language track. Everything's in French, including the songs. It's a different movie. As for Henry Selick, Monkey Bone. You have to see Monkey Bone. Now, we're never going to probably get to see the director's cut, which would be a lot better if you put all the deleted scenes back in. But for now, you can't miss it. And of course, Coraline. Henry Selick, man, give him more love. Now, a show I watched when I was 12 years old, Saturday morning show. The Ghostbusters with Larry Storch, Forrest Tucker, and a gorilla. Now, sound familiar? Yeah. Ghostbusters 1984 movie ripped off this. And a lot of them don't really acknowledge that to this day, though Filmation
sued Columbia Pictures and won. A lot of you don't know that. And so that made it legal for them to take Ghostbusters, two words, and put it together for their cartoon series, Ghostbusters, which then the Ghostbusters movie had their own cartoon series and called themselves the real Ghostbusters, which technically is not fucking right. This is the real Ghostbusters. And if I want absurdity, if I want a smile, because you know me, I like strange, greener grass. Oh, yeah. Well, Moose, the movie, for something so silly and outrageous, it's non-offensive. Anybody can really watch it, yet it's just weird enough that I dug it. I dug it. Wah. Any time of year for me is good for some Best of Richard Locke. Anything he was in. Oh, yeah. You know, I wish I would have moved to Palm Springs sooner. Could have got to meet him. And talk about bad movies that you just gotta see and you will fall in love with. The American Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. With one of my faves, Zebedee Colt. Annie Sprinkle has a non-sexual role in this one. Yes, it is porn. Interesting that around the same time, they made a heterocentric version called Sherlock Holmes. Sure, not sure. It also has Zebedee Colt and Annie Sprinkle. But this one, no matter what your sexual orientation, get yourself high, watch this. Enhance your life. All right. Woo. All of that got me some hungry. You know, cheesecake, man. Cheesecake. All right. So I guess we got to get back to this slaying at Christmas thing. Wait a minute. A little bit of self-reiki, and we're on our way. Yeah. Now I feel a hell of a lot better. Yeah. So, the next segment. Again, things getting a little better. Regifting. Now, after some initial line delivery that sound like it came out of a porn film, I don't mean sex talk, I mean just the delivery was sort of like, oh, hey, what did you do with him on your day? Oh, that's sassy. Okay, so, yeah. But I give Debbie D props on this one because she was a hoot. I liked her. I could tell there's something about her, and she really carried this segment nicely. It gets very interesting. You don't know where this one's going. I will admit, I wasn't sure. And again, the whole Christmas thing. It mentions Christmas. There's like a little decoration, but this could have been any time. There's a weird fake out. And I'm saying it's weird, but it was, let's just say it's a grab thing, but I was like, oh, so, all right, clever. And then here's what was really interesting. I don't know how you pronounce this name right here. It's what you call royalty-free music by this person. It made me grin because I have used these exact same two tracks in stuff I've done. So that's not a criticism. It made me smile because right off the bat, I was like, oh, that's Muse music. but it was placed perfectly. It worked well with the tone of what was going on. An interesting thing in this is there's a strangulation scene.
And while it probably wasn't as long as it would take for a normal strangulation to kill someone, they were pretty on the ball with this one because it went on a bit. You notice in many movies, horror movies especially, and TV shows, somebody gets strangled, they're dead within 10, 15 seconds. No, that's not how it works. This one, I have to say, did some good there. The end was very interesting, and this was overall better. While I liked The Best Company to an extent, this one kept it tighter, and I did enjoy this one. Admit it, not sexy. The next segment is Christmas Revenge. This is actually the coolest segment of the bunch, although not anything against the actor who played Santa, but Santa, I think, would have more of a beard than this one did, but okay, minor complaint. It flowed better than the other segments, I would say. Although, the regifting one flowed fine. It just was so entertaining. You really felt how this Santa felt in this situation. It was pretty on the spot on, as they'd say. And best of all, Heather Harlow. I adore Heather Harlow. Heather, mwah, mwah. Let's have lunch again. I met Harlow on the set of Psycho Ape 2, which I am in. Yeah, that's me with Bill Whedon, the iconic Bill Whedon. Here's me, Heather, and Annabelle Lecter of Without Your Head. Adorable! That includes me. What a smile. So, Heather not only acted in this, she worked on some of the effects. So, she can do it all. And I like to see more of Heather. She's a shining bright spot in this thing, you know, this whole sleigh thing. Yeah. All right, so the last segment. This sort of ties in the guy that's in the woods. Not the guy who appeared first. I kind of forgotten what happened to him. But anyway, so the Peter Horton looking guy, this is kind of about him. A little too obvious that he and his wife were shot at different times. They're talking back and forth, but they're never in the same room. So even a kill scene, you don't actually see. It's separate. It's like, you're dying, but I don't know, by a ghost. Who knows? But that didn't come off as convincing as it should have, but we'll move on. Now, here's the thing. That could have ended the film. But instead, we get this religious ranting guy on a radio show or a podcast. It was not necessary. It's a bunch of yak. It went on a bit too long. He was saying words like athletes and influencers. I hate when I hear athletes, especially, and words like jewelry and realtor and nuclear. Ah, fuck.
get your shit together. No. Okay. So, that whole radio host thing, if you're going to keep it in there, should have kept it concise. It was just a little too much. I started drifting. And not because of clearance wine. I said I quit that a long time ago. But instant classic, big scares, spine tingling, mayhem at its finest. Again, what movie were these people watching? It's disjointed at best. And please, the filmmakers, don't be angry with me. I mean, you had enough people that apparently liked it. And you probably won't want to put me in one of your movies now because of everything I said. But hey, I might like your next one. For example, this Konevsky guy, he did There's Nothing Out There. I fucking hated that thing. It was just a cheap excuse so the filmmakers could go, hey, we got girls full frontal naked every like 5 to 10 minutes. Let's like work a story around that. Okay. And then his next film, Nightmare Man. Fuck. Same thing. Started off with tits, have her running through the woods. She trips and the guy, he's not going fast enough, but boy, she can't get away. That kind of shit. Like in the chopped up segment in this. But you know what? He wrote a movie called Automation that was released through Dread Central, I believe. Oh, for low budgeter, I really got a kick out of it. So there's hope. I might like your next project, I'll say. So, hey, again, Heather Harlow. She really, really made me not regret seeing this. She's great, whatever she does. I know. I'm like, I must be president of the Heather Harlow fan club. Okay. Okay. Well, I said enough crap. And you get the idea, did you? Because, I mean, I can go on more about this. Now, you don't want that. So, all right. You've been watching The Todd Sampler. And however you want to see me. I'm not like Sybil. I don't have 7 personalities. But I can be at least 3. You got your Santa Cool. You got your Todd Quality Yeager, who's witty, charming, handsome, and above average in length. And you got Santa Bear. So, it's all for without your head? Ah, you know it. Cheesecake, man. Cheesecake. And because I would say tis the season, or gosh, with this movie, tits the season. But any time of year for me, trust me, I know the source. Eggnob. Well, thanks for watching. Toodles. You know you want to see him. God damn it. God damn it.